Blog Talk Radio. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I'm Karen Eden, and what an October. This has been like just a crazy, stressed out kind of month for me, and a lot of life lessons I never have in my life, and kind of glad to see it go. Pastor Lee, how are you, buddy?
Hello, my friend. I'm well. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, I don't know about all that, but I'm glad you're with me again. And we had a pretty kicking show last week. I got a lot of feedback on that, and so I wanted to see if we could maybe repeat that same thing again, as I have something impressed upon my heart again that you don't know about.
This is such a wonderful mystery. I am enjoying this. What are we going to do on the blog? It's late at night in these Blue Ridge Mountain country places where I live. And we're going to do a show.
People don't realize this, but for some old Jays, we're a couple of old Jays. And in our business, that means disc jockeys. We come out of that camp, and we're from the old school where we just turned the mic on and just you had to fly with it. And it did a couple of things. It developed your personality, and it also taught you how to do timing. I mean, timing is everything when you're selling time. So people often wonder how I do that, but I've had so many years of just having to time things out that it's just almost, I have like this internal clock. Do you have like the internal clock from broadcasting where you just know 60 seconds is up, or is it just me?
I could do 57 and a half seconds in a heartbeat, not even thinking about it.
Isn't that true? Hey, do you remember like when back in the day when we had to like count down like backwards to hit like a national news segment? Like if your station went into news, you had to like back time that, and you had to like talk and count down in your head just to hit that newscast. And that was hard to do because they were straight up the top of the hour, and sometimes you had to feel because there is no record or song that's going to be exactly the time you need to get back into that newscast. You know what I'm talking about, I'm sure.
I have occasional nightmares about that still, that I have a minute and 52 seconds before the news feed is kicking on, and I have no songs in the repertoire, and I don't have a subject in front of me to talk about for that long. Nor would my program director allow me. Yes, we have been down that road.
Isn't that true? And it's scary at first because you're on live radio. You are just reprimanded if there's any dead air between what you say in that newscast. I mean, you have to, like, hit that post, and you got to make it work. I mean, I don't know how it is now, but probably nothing like that now, but it was certainly that way back when we were coming up in broadcasting. But it makes you good at what you do. I mean, it's so easy for you to hit a record button and just take off. And like I said, everything's like a tapestry. It gets weaved into your life to get you to the next part that you have to weave. You know what I mean? It's just like everything's just by design to get you the experience that you need to move onward and upward. And for me, of course, being a spiritual person, I always believe that God designs your life and orders your footsteps so that you can get to where you need to be to do the work that he's called you to do. Hey, listen, does that sound scary to you? I mean, I wonder sometime when I say that if people like go, oh my God, to do the work that God wants me to do. You know, it sounds so like Mother Teresa-y. It's a new word, Mother Teresa-y.
Oh, you're rich.
It sounds so much like Mother Teresa, I just to get me to do the work that God asked me to. I wonder sometimes it sounds a certain way, but you have to have an understanding that what it really means. And what it really means is, man, I mean, just life is not complete, and you cannot be in the fullness of what you're supposed to do in this world, on this planet, if you don't have a purpose in mind. And it takes spiritual maturity to understand that that purpose always revolves around others, 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 and what you can do to help them in any capacity. You know, and I give this story, Pastor Lee, and I know that you have one of your own where, you know, coming up the way I came up, man, I hit the brick road, like, how far can I go and how long will it take me to get there? Because I just want to be a TV star and I don't care. And, you know, the mind is a very powerful thing, and just saying something like that and believing you can do it. I mean, truly believing you can do it can get you really far in life. But as a result, you know, I did get everything I wanted. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you the truth. By the time I was 40, I had achieved everything I set out to do when I was 17 and 18 years old. And then it's like, wow, well then, you know, I really don't feel like a happy person. And I don't know why. And I went on quite the spiritual journey. You know, and I know I'm going to let you talk in a minute. Just, you know how it is with two radio people. But anyway, you know, back in the late 90s, man, I got set on a spiritual journey with major fire. And I don't mean good fire. I mean, I got smacked kind of fire. And I realized why I'm here and what I'm supposed to be doing. And it changed my life. And, man, what incredible peace and happiness I have when I say those Mother Teresa things like, oh, yeah, well, the job is to do what God wants you to do. It is not self-sacrificial in any way, ladies and gentlemen. It is sheer fulfillment to do what God called you to do, and I hope you can conceive and understand that. And, Lee, I know you can, so tell me about it.
Imagine how frightening it was when a fellow named Timothy, I'm referencing the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote a book to his young friend Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:2. He told that kid, he said, be prepared in season and out of season. And I'm sure that when he got that letter and he heard all the recommendations that his tutor had meant for him, it scared him to death. He sweated a cold sweat.
Timothy was a kid. People don't know that. And if you're named Tim, Timmy, Timothy, you're named after a biblical kid who got called into ministry. And it was scary because, man, the guy got his own church at a very, very young age. So he must have been just an outstanding person. But, no, I get what you're saying. I hear you.
He had some health problems, and he gets all these big challenges all at once in this letter from his hero and mentor. And he must have thought, oh, I can't do this. I'm naming something out. I'm claiming something. I should be. He's telling me I have to, need to, ought to, and it makes my gut hurt every time I do it. And yet, what is it about naming something out and believing that it can happen and achieving it? What makes it work?
Well, I tell you, my opinion is because we're created in the image of God, we can do very God-like things. And that is the design of man and everybody's purpose. But because of a lot of reasons, we hold ourselves back in so many ways. But it's interesting you should bring that up, because even though I never told you anything about what we're talking about, we're kind of talking about that today. We're talking about a situation here where I'm taking probably my favorite biblical character, at least one of them, is David. You know, David was the shepherd boy, you know, came from just a farmer-type situation. They got elevated to a king, and his dad wasn't a king. He didn't inherit a throne. I mean, he was put there in a very supernatural way from very humble beginnings, but In the book of Samuel, there's 1 2 Samuel, the first book of Samuel, chapter 30, it talks about how, you know, David, of course, was a king, but he was a warrior, and he fought, and how they had lost a battle. And I can't name the city that's like zigzag, blah, 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 blah. I can't name it. But anyway, it says that, you know, it was so bad because the enemies, they came in and they kidnapped their wives and kids. They didn't kill them. They kidnapped them and took them with them, and they took all their spoils, took all their stuff. So when the guys came back, they're like, dude, man, look what you did. You miscalculated this. We should have been here to protect these our property and our families. And it says they got so mad at him, they wanted to stone him. And then the Bible says that David became very distressed, which means he was stressed out, people. I mean, he was very stressed out, and it wouldn't be the first time he was stressed out, and it wouldn't be the last time he was stressed out. But then if you read it and get around verse 6-ish, somewhere around there, it says something that kind of caught my attention and it blew me away. It says that David strengthened himself.
Yeah, that's right.
In the Lord.
Yes.
He strengthened himself because there was no, you know, Pastor Lee to encourage him. There was no sidekick. There was no mom and dad or best friend, big sister. Nobody was there to encourage him. And it says he strengthened himself in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I'm hitting at today. Now, if you go on and read the rest of the story, you'll see that, man, he just pulled it together. He had all this confidence and goes, we're going to go back. We're going to kick their butts. We're going to take everything back and more. And, you know, that's exactly what happened. They got everything back. Everybody was fine. It's a cool story, 1 Samuel chapter 30. But I want to elaborate a little bit on that he strengthened himself. Pastor Lee, have you ever been in a situation where everybody was against you? I mean, it's just like everywhere you turn around, it's nothing but hate, man. Just the hate is flowing. Nobody's on your side. I mean, just nobody. And I know you're going to say yes, but go ahead and say it.
I pastored Baptist churches for 25 years. That's my answer.
Everybody is.
During a time of theological crisis, fundamentalist conservatives and fundamentalist, you know, moderates, liberals, and the fighting will never end there. And yes, I got fired from a couple of churches in that process. Yes, I think I remember well. In 2000,
you,
2000, yes, yes. No
I
guidance, no pastor, no priest.
I got to hand it to you, man. I could never do the pulpit thing. I mean, I'm a seminary graduate. I'm ordained. It's so much drama, and you know, when you're the pulpit guy, I'm not a very big, this sounds weird, but I'm not like a real big people person kind of person. I mean, I'm really straightforward. I'm really bad at parties. I am what I am, and I've learned to accept that. And I like me. I'm fine, but you know, I know you did that for a long time, and that, oh my gosh, you had to go home some days and go, good God, what am I doing? Because I know you, you know, and I know what you're like a lot, but man, I tell you what, 25 years is a long time. It's a long time.
Well, you go home with a paralyzed brain because the human body can only handle about 17 conflicts before suicide. Now, that's a stat.
Oh, my God.
7 before serious depression sinks in. And when you're pastoring a church of 900 to 2,000 people, really, Ren, the thing that we learn is the brokenness of the human condition in community, in family, the dysfunction that exists, and the compassion that Christ had for all of these broken people that he knew.
Yeah.
And we're always surrounding him. And so what do we do? What do you do? What are we doing right now? We're talking about our frailties.
Yeah, and I do all the time. I really do all the time. You know, David strengthened himself.
Yes.
I want to encourage people out there, when you get distressed, as the Bible says, or really like pummeled, on overload, I want you to try this. Try to strengthen yourself in the Lord instead of constantly, you know, calling and trying to get someone to put a pacifier in your mouth, I guess is one way you could look at it. You know, you're a lot stronger than you think you are. And if you've got the Lord on your side, who can be against you? I mean, that's straight out of the book. If you've got the Lord on your side, who could really be against you? Can you find it within yourself to go inside and strengthen yourself in the Lord? What does that mean? Pastor Lee, I think that David went, hey, you know what? Hang on a minute. First of all, I'm king. Okay? I killed this really big, huge giant when I was a teenager. Okay? Let's just, like, go through this resume of mine. I'm strong. You know, I am strong, and my strength is in the Lord, and I know that he's with me. No one could be against me. Let's get this together. Let's put the army together, and let's go get our stuff back, guys. I mean, that's a leader, and that's what he did. But he had to go back and remember all of his greatness. And people in our particular faith, you know, they think sometimes it's wrong to talk about your greatness. But Pastor Lee, I don't think it is. I think that we are created in the image of God. And if you truly have conquered or have accumulated some kind of greatness, you know, all glory to God for that. But I don't think there's anything wrong of you reminding yourself of who you are. Because if you don't remind yourself of who you are and you don't believe in yourself, you're never going to be able to strengthen yourself. How do you feel about that?
It's a brilliant insight that you're offering right now. To not strengthen yourself is to guarantee failure.
Yeah. And don't you think that so much of our failure, no matter what we've accomplished, comes from a sense of feeling worthless? Do you agree with that? Because I've always said that.
Yes, when we think about how we can fail instead of thinking about how God would want us to succeed, we handicap ourselves.
I've always said the greatest evil and the greatest downfall of mankind is the spirit of worthlessness. And sometimes, you know, you are programmed to feel worthless. It comes from, you know, your upbringing. And sometimes that's a hard, listen, Pastor Lee, that's a hard one. And I'm not just speaking from my own experiences. I've been very, very transparent in these blogs. I don't know if anybody's even listening but you and me, but at least you know. But, you know, it takes a lot. Sometimes you have to go, especially when something comes against you in your familiarity. So I've been in situations where I've had bosses in newsrooms and stuff just freak out and just come at me with a tone and an authority about them and a loudness that would make me just want to cower. And I really have had to find the strength to not let that affect me that way. First of all, I had to realize it. And secondly, I had to have it not affect me because I saw bosses do that to other people I worked with in a newsroom, and they could have cared less. They didn't even take it personal. And then when they come at me, I'm like, Karen, well, why are you reacting this way? And then sure enough, I can see a connection to where it goes back to my, you know, something in my past where, you know, I had to protect myself or I was feeling helpless because I was a kid or whatever, and I had to take that foundation out and put another foundation in. And we all have it. I mean, I don't know anybody that's had everything perfect in their life. Everybody's got something. And sometimes, you know, you have to take out some of the foundation and rebuild it and put it back in. But that knowledge is so important for you to understand moving forward. But if you don't remind yourself of your greatness, you'll never be able to accomplish that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with you reminding yourself of your greatness. I mean, you know what's so funny? Let me tell you this story. Let me give you an idea. You know, when you get any kind of accomplishment on any level, I don't care what it is, and you've had your share. I mean, you did radio, and you went on to be a mega pastor and all this stuff. You get desensitized to the stuff that comes with it. You get desensitized, like the feeling of celebritism or whatever you want to call it. After a while, you don't even realize anything about it. After a while, it can be a stumbling block to do what you do. It can be very stressful even. But anyway, let me tell you the story, Pastor Lee. I just found this out. Went back to my husband Jerry's high school reunion. Went back to Pennsylvania. And the people that were there, they remembered me from about 20 years ago, because we went to a class reunion like 20 years ago of his. And so I walked in, and one of the ladies sat down to me, and she said, you know, what I remembered when I first met you was that you actually came to the reunion, and you had to leave and go do the weather, and then you came back. And she thought that was such a big deal, like it was really cool, you know? And I can tell you, that night that I had to do that, I thought that was the biggest pain in the butt, that I had to leave and go do my job and come back. You know, it's a different perspective. But if I can really stand in my greatness, I could go, you know what, Karen, that is kind of cool. I mean, she's saying she thought it was cool that you went to be on TV. That's what she's saying. And the whole time, I'm thinking, what a pain that I got to leave this event, and then I got to come back when it's done. So my point is, if you want to stay strong, stop remembering all the crappy stuff that people say about you. Because I've had a lot of that this month too, Pastor Lee. I have had, let me vent on you, brother. Let me just tell you a couple things. I've had family members drag me so low and make me feel like I am such a piece of crap. I mean, family members who should have my back. And that has been so discouraging to me. And I literally had to sit back and remind myself of my own greatness, like David, and strengthen myself to even be able to pull myself together and not and just see the day in a different perspective. If you don't choose to remember the good things in your life, you're never going to be able to strengthen yourself in the hard times. You can choose to remember all the bad things that people say about you. I can choose to remember all the bad things people said about me this month, because I got a lot of it. Because it's been a tough month, Pastor Lee. Or I can choose to remember the really good things that people said about me, like that lady at my husband's class reunion, or some other people that said things about me at appearances and stuff. I choose what I want to remember. Tell me, does the Bible not say, whatever you think on these things? Go ahead. Tell me, are the things the Bible says you're supposed to think on, Pastor Lee?
I think we're looking at the book of Philippians. Think of things that are excellent. Just stop with that one word. If you focus your mind on what is excellent and pure, those are just two of the words in that passage.
And lovely.
Think about what's excellent, lovely, and pure. Let's go to three words, a trinity. A lovely trinity there. How
well, you know
will
what?
Day go? How will your day go versus the person that you remember who's criticizing you or ragging you? They know that one place that they can yank your chain and pull you down and keep you down for 2 hours. You just missed a lot of victory when that happens. So I have to ask
funny,
the question.
Though? Go ahead, ask it. I'm sorry.
I'm really hard on this. I need your help.
Okay.
How do you strengthen yourself with what you went through this month? How did David strengthen himself? Is there a formula? Is there a key to that?
Yeah, there is. You have to make an executive decision here that you are only going to retain the good things that people have said about you, Pastor Lee, because the Bible says to think on whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely. The Bible actually tells you how you're supposed to think. And there's a reason for that. Because you will lose your strength and you will become weak if you listen to people and constantly focus on the bad things they say about you. I mean, it's weird how you can just remember the smallest of littlest of details of something somebody said about you. It could be so minute that was not positive. And yet you got all these good things flying your way, and they just like, oh, thank you. Well, thank you, but you don't retain it. But you remember that one bad thing somebody said. But you know what? You're weakening yourself because you are choosing to remember the negative. And it has to come to the point where you say, your opinion is negative and it really doesn't mean a whole lot to me. I mean, and usually the people who are giving you the negative feedback or saying things about you that tear you down, if you check, they're probably not a licensed counselor.
Okay? Yeah.
So why are you taking it to heart? I mean, seriously, what was this meme I saw? You know, it was Granny from Beverly Hillbillies, Granny Clampett. She's going, you know, I don't know why you think you're all that. You ain't even normal.
Yes.
I mean, you got to look at it that way. And anybody who's going to take the energy to expend something negative on you, you've got to realize they're a reflection of what's going on inside themselves. Because who does that? I mean, listen, people contact me all the time. They want to be on TV. They want to write books. They want to be in magazines, blah, blah, all this stuff, you know, and I'm real blessed I've done that stuff, but I never. They go, well, would you read this or would you look at this or critique this or look at my tape or whatever, and I do, and sometimes I have, you know, I have chuckly moments. There's another word, chuckly moments. I have chuckly moments, but I would never, never say anything that would cause them to be discouraged if they have the vision of doing something that I've done and I've accomplished. That's not my place to do that, Pastor Lee. I don't expend the time to cut somebody down. I know with time, if they keep going to the well with it, they're going to get good at it. I don't care how bad they are now. They will get good at it. I've seen it happen. I'm like, man, how did you get so good? Because you weren't that good the first time I saw you. But, you know, you get good at things that you focus on. So I make it an effort of mine to never negatively condemn or criticize somebody when they're wanting to do something that God has blessed me in favor with and I've accomplished. But a lot of people will. They will cut you down. And you got to be careful who you give your heart to, Pastor Lee. Be careful who you give your heart to, sir. Be careful, Pastor Lee. You hear me, Pastor Lee?
I'm really listening to that for reasons deeper than we've discussed.
Yeah, I don't even know. I just feel like telling you, Pastor Lee, be careful who you give your heart to. Because not everybody is worthy to have your heart. And not everybody's worthy to critique your heart and to tell you things about yourself. People aren't worthy of that because they haven't walked in your shoes and they haven't been a mega pastor or they haven't been on TV or have books, magazines, or whatever you want to say that I've done. So I don't just put my heart out on a platter for people to chop up. I'm very careful who gets my heart. So that's a little bit of my answer to your question of how you do that and how David strengthened himself. A, I guarantee he reflected on the good thoughts, and B, I guarantee he didn't put his heart out on a platter for people to rip up.
You just said something so brilliant to me that sounded like, you know, someone listening would say, oh, she just complimented Pastor Lee for what he's done and who he might be. What you just said is applicable universally to every person. My friend Oki, I was working with in the trout stream the other day, trying to help him catch a trout. Now, he drives a garbage truck by day, you know, 5 days a week. Oki needs to hear that too. He's a good man. He's got good accomplishments. He's done good things for people. He's gone the extra mile. The person who's suffering and listening to this right now got a hard way to go, and they're getting weaker, feeling, how am I going to get out of this tornado of emotions? You know what? Strengthen yourself in the Lord. You get quiet, and you think about, what has been promised to me? What can I do? The emotional impact of what something negative did to you, did to every one of us, the emotion of that negative is strong until we claim a positive, powerful promise. That becomes stronger. But you can't just claim it as an event. We claim it as a process. We do it over and over. You have overcome the month of October with so much negativity because you kept your mind and your spirit in the positive. You know what God has promised you. You know who you are. And when you pause to remember where you stand alone sometimes. but really mm-hmm. not alone. You stand with the unseen witnesses who have also claimed Philippians 4:8, where Paul said to Timothy, hey, think about what's true and noble, right,
mm-hmm.
pure, lovely, admirable, mm-hmm. excellent, mm-hmm. praiseworthy. And then he said,
mm-hmm.
think about these things, but that's not a good translation. The word mm-hmm. think really means breathe. Breathe these things. I read it in the Greek a moment ago. You breathe these things.
Breathe, I like that. You know, it didn't come instant, though, because when I was dealing with situations that were very stressful with people who were trying to, you know, bring me down for whatever reason, when I hung up the phone, I felt really bad. But it took a little bit of time. But over the course of the next couple of hours, I'm like, hang on a minute. Hey, whoa. What? This ain't about me. You know, and I wonder if David did that. When they're coming at him, wanting to stone him, saying he was an idiot, a leader, you know, in the wars that they were doing, and he's a dumb king or whatever they may have said. I wonder if he got distressed. I wonder if he just kind of went, okay, now hang on a minute now. Well, wait a minute. I have seen the hand of God on my life since I was just a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not going to fall for that because I am looking at the full throttle and the full pattern of my life, and I can see right now that the devil is a liar, and I'm not going to fall for that. I think that's what David did, Pastor Lee.
I do, too.
Well, man, we just pretty much blew all of our time here. That was quick.
It was too quick.
I certainly appreciate you flying with me on this here, and, you know, there's just something very natural about people not knowing what we're going to talk about when we get on the show. So I appreciate that, and I can't do that with everybody, but I know I can do it with you.
That is a dear gift. Thank you.
You are welcome, and I appreciate your feedback as always. And listen, I got some things coming up here just real quick, some appearances I'm headed for. Vegas, Wednesday, Thursday, somewhere around there. Depends on how much snow we get here in Colorado. But Professor Gary Lee has his event in Las Vegas with the Sport Karate Museum. And I'm going to be speaking. I'm going to be doing my Native American talk in regalia, in full regalia. And for those who don't know, I do fundraisers for Native American women, especially who are disappearing by the hundreds, and
yes.
Nobody really knows what's going on with that. And I do teach them self-defense as a martial arts master myself. And then I've got some other things that are already bubbling up that I wasn't even expecting, but I'll let you know when those come to fruition. And then I'm going to try to stay home during flu season because I do tend to get really sick when I travel during flu season. But I'll be coming back out in the spring and going to the Cleveland Hall of Fame in Ohio for my seventh Dan promotion. And hopefully that goes well. We'll just see. It's not set in stone yet, but it's going to be in April. And I'm working with Master A.J. Perry on that out of the Cleveland, Ohio area, who actually sat on my black belt panel years and years ago and tested me to be a black belt. So it would be very fitting for him to test me for seventh Dan. And so we'll pray about that. I'm a lot older than I used to be when I tested for first Dan. But anyway, let's see here. I got some other things going on, too. I'm hoping to make my way into Alaska once the weather clears up as well and work with the Native Americans in that area. But anyway, I just say that for two reasons, and I'm not going to lie. If you got any money and you want to support me and my causes, I'm all over the place. You can find me, social media, whatever. Just hit me up and say, hey, man, I got some money I want to give you. That works real well with me. You watch how fast I answer you when you say that. That's the first thing. All right.
Do you mind? Do you mind if I interrupt at this point?
Go ahead.
I've seen you, once or twice in the last 25 years. I am happy to donate. to the causes that you represent, because I know your integrity.
Aww.
And I don't want to make any of that public, just that I have had the pleasure of doing so. And in my lockbox right now, there are two treasures that I found, Native American treasures that are thousands of years old, that are coming to your foundation.
I know, and I'm so happy because I can use that for my Native American education with my artifact display. I can't believe, dude, that you found an atlatl. I mean, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe nobody finds that. I think the Carnegie Science Museum is going to be jealous of that one. But then I appreciate that. I know you go out there in the highlands of those Virginia, West Virginia mountains, and you do a lot of your woodwork out there, and you go hunting for me a little bit, and you find stuff, which is cool because people don't normally just do stuff like that, and I appreciate that, Pastor Lee. But and I will use that on my circuit when I do my seminars. But anybody else out there?
I know. I'm just thinking because the way business works and the historical society and other things that I like to fund, $10. $10. Mm. If 40 people just have $10, it supports hundreds of people. It just works out that way. When I go to Poland and do work out there with some of those orphanages, oh, my gosh. And when we work with veterans here in the United States, you know, every once in a while we might have 15 people that have $7 or $8 in their pocket. But you know what? It makes a difference. I just hope people listen to this. And we didn't talk about this ever in our lives. You and I did not talk about
it. No, but I tell you what, man, you're good.
I want people to give you a pause. I want people to just dig. Big time.
I tell you what, Pastor, I appreciate that, and you're good. I can tell you've got experience in asking for money. Maybe you can help me do that better because that was really good. I like
that.
Well,
if you believe in, you have to ask for it, and you have to claim, I asked for it. I believe it. I prayed for it. I know that what you're doing is changing people's lives. And
I really am. I have a hard time with money. I got to tell you, I do. People ask me all the time, well, what do you want? What do you want? And I'm like, man, I don't know. I have a hard time with it. But I am doing, when I know I'm going to help people, I will make an effort to reach out there. And you're right. And I appreciate that. And, you know, you and me are going to talk because I'm going to try to maybe get you to do my opening and closer.
No, we'll do it. You know, we'll do that. I just want to make one appeal that there's somebody around who has $30,000 or $40,000 that they want to be a legacy, and they can do that. And they might hear it today and do it next year. But that, when you invest in eternity, you invest in history and culture, the things that you represent, man, it just gets my blood warm and happy and excited. I just feel like we're really making a difference in this world when we go to the lowest and the poorest and the helpless, and we see that light in their eyes, and you get to see that more than I do lately. It makes such a difference. I know one thing. If I put 50 bucks in your pocket today, you turned it into 200 before it was done.
You know me well. I do that. People who know me know that about me. They know about me. I'm like, you know, I actually embarrass my kid because I'm like couponed out with everything. And they're like, you know, Mommy, why do you have to do, you know, you're on TV and everything. Why do you have to still do that? You know what? Once you can take the poor girl out of the poorhouse, but you can't take the poorhouse out of the girl. You just can't do it.
I do not take lightly
when anybody gives me anything. I don't care if it's – I've had people hand me, you know, 5 ones, and I was very gracious, and I do put that away. It's for a particular cause that I'm asking for, and I appreciate that, Pastor Lane. You know, I need to focus more on that. I need to really concentrate on that a lot more. It's not my forte. I'm terrible at sales, but I do need to make an effort because this is not my work. This is God's work. I don't get any gain out of this. You know, I'm just trying to make a difference here. But thank you.
I know that you live frugally. I know where you live. I know how you live. You came back to Roanoke, Virginia this year, the crazy year that you've had. We spent a couple of hours together. Just been a long time. You know, I want to tell your audience what we did. We went to Big Lots to shop for some bargains. We went through an entire little shopping mall hitting only the bargains of things that you had to have. before you got in your car and drove miles and miles and miles and miles to execute another fundraiser. Or actually, it was a cause. It was one of the causes in East Tennessee. I watched you do that, and I thought, I like that. I live that way, too. But
yeah,
when I invest in a ministry, that's what I'm looking for. Somebody who can turn the $40 into $300. I love the way you do that.
Well, tell you what, Pastor Lee, I like Big Lots. I have no problem with that or Walmart or anything else, but I hear you. If people are going to give me any kind of funding, I will stretch it to, because it's only fair to them. I'm not going to, you know, go to, name me a very high-end store, you know. I'm not going to go to Sonoma to get my coffee cups.
Spoiler alert, she doesn't eat steak, people, ever.
No, I don't eat any kind of cows. Sorry, don't eat. I can't. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's your. Now, Pastor, you're telling a lot of stuff about me here, but that's okay. Yeah, that's true. I don't eat. I'm a long time vegetarian. I don't have a cause with it. I think that we were meant to eat protein. It's just yours truly does not like the taste nor the texture of it. So I abstain from it, and I have my whole life. I just don't like it. However, I do like Slim Jims, and I do like bacon. So, you know, just to let you know, it's all about the texture and the taste.
Send bacon and $10 bills, too.
Works for me. All righty, man. Well, listen, God bless you, Pastor. I appreciate you, you know, and known you a long, long time here, and through the good and the bad and the ugly and the not so ugly, we've learned some lessons, and it is our job to expend it out to other people. And you guys, don't forget, no matter if you're listening because you're a martial artist or you're a friend or we went to school with you or someone from the TV business or whatever, just remember that the only way you're going to be able to strengthen yourself is to take a step back and go, I refuse to listen to the negativity around me, and I'm only going to focus on the positive. It's that easy. Pastor Lee, going to check out here. God bless you, my friend, and God bless everybody out there, and we'll see you next time.